In a universe that almost is, just out of reach beyond the edge of reality, mysterious forces underlie the fabric of existence. Energemetra 6, the very energy of creation, serves as both the elixir of life and the arsenal of destruction for its human and not-so-human denizens.
Crushing darkness, whose source they cannot fathom, grips the cosmos and its people. In anguish, they dream of the long-foretold bright star.
Join us as we embark on an epic journey, exploring the universe of Energemetra 6.
And this is the Energemetra 6 podcast, and we are live, and this is episode 19, and we are going into the second story in the book From the Void. And I think we're I ought to do the V for V ad. The Energemetra 6 podcast operates on a value for value model. That means that we hope if we provide some value to you in your life, that you'll return that to us in whatever way you can manage. If you're interested, head over to e6universe.com and sign up for our email list to get our free ebooks, and hopefully buy a physical book or some merch while you're there. Or if all you can manage right now is to leave us a good review somewhere, 5 stars or some kind of positive rating, that's more than appreciated. Thank you. That out of the way, we're diving into From the Void, the book, the story titled From the Void. And a slight author's confession here before this gets started. You know, we've got this force that is supposedly coming from outside reality, and it doesn't exist in this particular story. It's not From the Void. I titled the story From the Void, but that was probably a mistake. And I digress just a little here, but it is, in hindsight, I probably should have called it something different. But normally when you have an anthology and you do it this way, you would call a story in the anthology after the name of the anthology. And this one fit in a sense, but it also didn't in another, because this does not have creatures from beyond the edge of the real who are untouched by the power of creation. That's actually in the next story. Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, with that out of the way, let me read the intro to this real fast.
Okay.
Rachel Kasizia and her brother John were the first of the odds, but they were not the only ones in the Aurora Galaxy. Soon after their confrontation with the mob on Ateria, the Kasizias encountered another who aged as slowly as they did. Later, after Paul disappeared, the episode survived only in the memories of the three young people. For personal reasons, Taryn Galton never shared his own recollection. For a millennia, the story was lost to history, leaving Galton's origin shrouded in mystery until it was finally recorded and passed down by John Kasizia several thousand years after the fact. This is From the Void. In Year 4 NST, Ateria, the Aurora Galaxy. Take it away, Mel.
All right. Over the month that followed the incident at the park, as Hope One patrolled the dense, bright star cluster they had dubbed the Redoubt, Rachel thought back often to their picnic. In hindsight, she was glad her father had sat down in the park. It was a time she would never forget. Despite her appreciation for the memory, Rachel preferred being out among the stars. While John seemed able to more or less fit in wherever they landed, she had never really related to others her age, her apparent age. Subjectively, in terms of time she had experienced, she and John were both over 25. Biologically, she was still 13. She still looked and felt 13. And no doctor or scientist on Ateria understood why. Rachel got tired of the sidelong glances and whispered comments about how she was odd. Not that she left such comments unchallenged. Normally, she and John were like appendages of each other, or two halves of a whole. Maybe it was because they were twins, or some combination of that and how much they'd been through. But they understood each other almost perfectly, and their personalities were complementary. Except when Rachel felt left out. It was one of the few things which really irked her. Somehow John was just better at fitting in than she was. Out among the stars, they spent most of their time learning how to use energemetrics and experimenting with its capabilities, away from materia where they might cause serious damage. They'd only gained the ability to access the power shortly before they escaped Earth. She still wasn't completely clear on the details, but she knew that her dad and Carl Winton and Lastus Rayland had a lot to do with it. She'd actually been 12 years old at the time, and nobody wanted to tell her what was really going on. Now, there was no prying anything out of her dad about it at all, and everyone else seemed to think the past was dead, as Shrewtongue did. As best she could piece it together, soon after Energemetris 6 was discovered, her dad and Carl Winton had learned that Lastus Rayland was planning to take over the world using a new energy source. She knew that in those early days, it had all been mostly theoretical. She remembered her dad talking about it like people talked about physics or magic. Then everything changed, and he started acting like it was a real thing that he could reach out and touch. Rachel still wasn't sure how humans, especially Lastus, had gained the ability to use Energemetris 6 directly instead of through machines as Paul first had. She knew the rest of the world, including herself and John, had gotten their own ability to use it after they got sick with the fever, as her dad said, a modified version of scarlet fever. She thought her dad and Carl had something to do with that too, but Paul always changed the subject when she asked. The thought made her even more grumpy. She didn't like not knowing things. Come to think of it, she hadn't asked Siever Ratting though. He would know. And if anybody in the universe would tell her, it would be Siever. However it happened, she and John had gained control of Energemetris 6 shortly before they left Earth, during the Troubles. Being able to control it didn't mean they were able to use it effectively, though, the way their dad could. Rachel still wasn't sure how Paul had come by the ability to use Energemetris 6 as well as he did. It was when she was about 10 years old that he first saved both her and John with his own power. And that was before the Troubles or the fever. That was really all she knew. And as usual, he wasn't talking. Rachel snorted in annoyance. She had lost focus on her weave, and the threads of power she had been manipulating tangled incomprehensibly. She growled and threw the entire construct out through the wall of the command center into space beyond, where it subsequently shredded itself into oblivion in a minor energy discharge that they left in their wake instantly as they hurtled through the void. John looked over at her, one eyebrow raised.
Something wrong?
Rachel shot him an annoyed look and shrugged. Just distracted. John nodded knowingly.
Thinking about why we're here?
Rachel shrugged again, her eyes going automatically to her dad, sitting at the other end of the command center. She wasn't sure why she didn't want him hearing their conversation, but for some reason she didn't. Doesn't matter, she muttered. John turned to hold out his own current project toward her. It was a knot of green loops, interspersed with multicolored threads, weaving in and out of the mess in a regular, though not easily predictable pattern. What is it? It's obviously not for matter transition. Rachel's Energemetris 6 senses traced the knot, which was at a low enough power that it was completely invisible to her eyes. The shape was unlike anything she would have imagined creating herself. John liked things that grew, whether plant or animal. And the difference between the twins was never more obvious to her than when he came up with an idea like this one. It obviously had an organic purpose, but she might as well try and read another language as attempt to understand what his weaves were for. John's reply was interrupted by a blast of static from the command center speakers and the flickering of wavy lines across the main view screen. Paul, sitting across the large room, focused on his own explorations, startled to full consciousness and stared wide-eyed for a long moment before he spoke.
That's a bright future signal. It passed the encryption check, or it couldn't have triggered the comm.
He stared at John and Rachel. They both stared back, eyes wide. And Paul turned to speak into the microphone port at his console.
This is Paul Kasizia on Hope One. Can you repeat?
More static ripped out of the sound system. The bridge's main monitor fuzzed with even more lines, and Paul frowned.
It's weak. I can try to boost it, but...
He shook his head, and both of his children sensed his will as he reached out into the fields of Energimetra 6. Rachel knew that Energimetra 6 communication was at least conceptually similar to radio communication, just as the Energimetra 6 fields paralleled electromagnetic fields in many ways. Complex waves of Energimetra 6 were broadcast in every direction, and even the most tenuous signal could be boosted dramatically with very little effort. It was odd that their receiver, which was designed to boost signals all by itself, wasn't doing the job. After a long moment, Paul let out a low whistle.
They're outside.
More static buzzed around them, with no change in its volume.
Outside?
John was obviously puzzled.
Like, out in space?
Paul shook his head, grimly this time.
Outside of everything. Outside of reality. Like we were when we were transported from the Milky Way here to Aurora. It's amazing the signal fell back to us at all. It's more evidence that my theory was right. Still, what if it's Carl? I'd never forgive myself if...
This time when Paul reached out with Energimetra 6, his eyes actually unfocused. Whatever he was doing required truly immense concentration. And when she realized what it was, Rachel actually gasped out loud. John looked at her strangely for a moment. Then he too realized what their father was doing, and they both stared at Paul wide-eyed. He was trying to open up the hole in space he thought they must have created to get to the redoubt. Just a little, perhaps, but what else could it be? Another burst of static blared, this time loud enough to make them both set their teeth. Paul's eyes refocused, and he grinned triumphantly at them, as intelligible sound finally came through, and the image on the screen darkened. For a few seconds, the picture didn't really clear, but the strange waving lines of static resolved enough for them to see a face. First as a blur, then more and more clearly as the signal improved. After about 5 seconds, Paul let out an exclamation of surprise when he recognized the man on the viewer.
Wayne? Wayne Galton? Paul Kasizia.
The other man's expression, dull with shock, and something else, morphed into first surprise, then relief.
How did you get here?
Paul asked. The picture was continuing to clear, and Rachel sucked in an involuntary breath as she realized what she was seeing in the back corner of the display behind Galton's head. It was a body, obviously dead. Her father saw it at the same moment she did, and he reached reflexively for the control that would shut off the screen. He hesitated before he reached it, however, his face hard, then let his hand drop back to his side.
I could ask you the same, Paul. It's been a hot minute by the fates. Why, I haven't seen you since before the war.
His tone capitalized the last word automatically, as if there had only ever been one. While Rachel knew that the fires of a great many wars had flamed up across the earth before they left, did that mean... Her thoughts were interrupted as Galton continued.
Listen, Paul, I need your help. They got my Callie.
His head involuntarily turned toward the dead woman behind him. The screen had cleared enough to see that it was obviously a woman. Her face had an Asian look about it, with long dark hair and painted fingernails. Rachel hadn't seen painted fingernails in years. There hadn't been room for such luxuries aboard Hope during the escape, and the colonists on Eteria hadn't redeveloped reliable cosmetics yet. The picture was clear enough now that Rachel could see the woman's lifeless eyes, staring blankly across the room behind Galton, who was obviously struggling to contain his emotion. He shook his head and glanced over his shoulder in the other direction.
They're not far behind me, Paul. Dominance faster than they are, but even once I pull ahead, I can't seem to lose them, and they've got a deconstructor.
Paul's expression went grim, and Galton nodded confirmation.
How did they get a deconstructor?
Paul sounded half-strangled.
Did Lastus learn how to transist matter mechanically?
Galton laughed grimly, without humor.
That one's on Kyle. He had the last of the lot. He was going to set it to max and take out their whole flotilla. Best we can tell, a shade got him. Now they have it.
He shook his head.
They used it to take out Lionel. They're all gone, Paul. Kyle, Wynn, Lionel, now Callie. And on top of it all, the void-consumed Watcher won't leave us alone.
Rage shone from his eyes, but he glanced over his shoulder again to a sight they couldn't see, and focus, if not sanity, returned to him.
I think you're still outside of...
Paul struggled with words for a moment, even raising his hands as if to describe something, then just shook his head.
Everything. You're still outside of reality, Wayne. I could try to pull you in, pull you to us, but we can't afford to endanger the colony. I don't have anything to offer you. We can't even defend ourselves effectively.
Galton stared for a moment.
My son, Taren.
He glanced over his right shoulder once more. And shook his head, completely determined, almost belligerent.
He's all I got left, Paul. Somebody got to take care of Taren.
He stared hard at Paul across the Energemetris 6 link. Paul shook his head, almost helplessly.
We can't.
Galton shook his head explosively.
There's no choice. None. You want to kill him, too?
Paul raised a hand, almost pleading.
But the colony, if we pull you in here, it will lead them right to us. Space in this area is already damaged.
He grimaced.
I may have to push your ship away just to keep you from falling back into reality on our heads. It's just us here. I'm the only defense these people have.
Galton swore, then raised his hands pleadingly.
You gotta help me, Paul. There's nobody else. If you take Taren, I'll turn and fight. I'll take them all with me. I swear to you.
There was silence for a long, frozen moment, with Paul Kazizia and Wayne Galton matching glares through the screens. On separate sides of a barrier that divided reality itself. Rachel couldn't help staring at the dead, sightless eyes of the poor woman in the corner behind Galton. She imagined her own mother, also dead since before she could remember, and for a moment she felt the horrible weight of the gut-wrenching decision that lay before Paul. She could see the side of his face, and by the set of his jaw, she could tell the moment he decided, and what he had decided.
How about we call it there?
Okay.
I'm looking at this. We're not going to get a better place. It's a good spot. We're about halfway through the story. It's a terrible place for a pause, which is exactly what you're looking
for.
It's
a good cliffhanger. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's call it there for this week. And we will plan on being back next week to finish the story. Everybody who's watching, thank you for being here. The Energemetra 6 podcast is made possible by North Arrow Coffee. North Arrow Coffee is the pro-life coffee company where 15% of every purchase goes to support organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Centers, whose purpose is to support women in the most difficult situation of their lives. If you're interested, head over to northarrowcoffee.co and use promo code E6 to get 10% off with your order.
The advertisements featured did not necessarily represent my endorsements or views.
You know, real quick before we go, I am headed to North Dakota this week. I will be at the homeschool convention in Bismarck on Friday and Saturday, and hopefully selling some books there, hopefully bring some new readers in and, you know, share the Energemetra 6 universe with some new people. So I don't actually know that there would be anybody who's watching this who's in North Dakota, but if there is, definitely give me a shout and let me know. I'd love to connect. And other than that, thanks for being here, Mel. Thank you, Oldest. And I guess that's it for this week.
All right.